Greetings from St Bride's Church, Fleet Street, here in the very heart of the City of London. We're delighted that you're tuning into this podcast and a very happy Easter to you all. Do please leave a comment or a like. It's always good to hear from you. And if you would like to donate to help support these online services, you'll find details of how to do so in the accompanying text. And now may the light and peace of Christ be with you all as our worship begins. Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Happy Easter. A very warm welcome to St Bride's to our choral Eucharist on this Easter day as we celebrate the joy of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Wherever you are in the world and however you're listening to us, we hope that you will feel that you are very much part of the St Bride's family. We now sit or kneel for our opening prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Let us therefore rejoice by putting away all malice and evil and confessing our sins with a sincere and true heart. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Let us therefore rejoice by putting away all malice and evil and confessing our sins with a sincere and true heart. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand for the glory.
Thank you. all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him. Grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honor, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, beginning at the 6th verse. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter began to speak to those assembled in the house of Cornelius. Truly, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him manifest, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the summer of 2022, a group of us here from St. Bride's went on a pilgrimage to a number of sacred sites in Austria and Germany, culminating in a visit to Oberammergau, where we saw a performance of its world-famous Passion play. In case you're unfamiliar with the story behind the play, it really is remarkable. In the year 1633, the village of Oberammergau suffered a terrible epidemic of bubonic plague, during which many of its people died. The inhabitants prayed for deliverance from the plague, and they vowed that if the deaths ceased, they would express their abiding gratitude to God by performing a religious play depicting the Passion of Christ every 10 years. The plague did indeed cease, and the people of Oberammergau have honoured their vow every 10 years since then, albeit with one or two occasional glitches in the time schedule. Our own visit had been postponed from 2020 because of COVID. And the Passion play itself is a truly extraordinary experience. There is a cast of thousands, men, women and children on the stage, a chorus, soloists and orchestral players, as well as live animals ranging from doves to camels. There is a strict rule that only those who are born and raised in Oberammergau can take part. And so in the years when the play is being performed, their normal daily routine continues alongside it. One becomes accustomed to being served in local shops by men who resemble very shaggy Robinson Crusoes, because the men of the village grow their hair and their beards for months before the start of the Passion play season. Indeed, as I recall, some of us stayed in a hotel, the proprietor of which was none other than Pontius Pilate. The play itself is a remarkable theatrical experience, mind-blowing, extraordinarily powerful. And for me, there were three things in particular that stood out. First, the crowd scenes. The cast, and indeed the stage, are sufficiently large that far from being represented by a token gathering of actors, the crowd scenes really are just that. And to observe the mood of that crowd change dramatically when Jesus is put on trial, until they are howling for his blood, was as convincing as it was chilling. The second was the crucifixion scene. The huge auditorium is partly open to the elements, and as chance would have it, on the night that we were there, there was a real live thunderstorm overhead during the crucifixion, with rumbles of thunder and flashes of lightning. As we remarked afterwards, the special effects really were something else. And the third abiding memory that I have is of the very ending of the play, where the resurrection is represented with immense simplicity but extraordinary power. The women come to the tomb to anoint the body of the dead Jesus, but find instead an angelic figure standing by a blazing fire. "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" he says. "He is not here. He
He is risen. This photograph will perhaps give you an idea of the power and the drama of that episode in the play. After that, the choir and the soprano soloist end with a glorious anthem of praise, and the cast simply leave the stage, the fire still burning. There are no curtain calls, because the play remains first and foremost an offering to God. To switch the focus to the achievements of the actors in that would feel completely out of place. Most of us were left stunned, and I, for one, had a real sense that far from seeing the ending of a play, what we had just experienced was a reality that was continuing to unfold, because it begged an unspoken question of the audience. So what are you going to do now in the light of all of this? And the closing verses of St. Mark's Gospel, which I read for us a moment ago, do exactly the same thing. They too leave the final and most important question with us. Some of you may have heard me before extolling the wonders of St. Mark's Gospel. It is the earliest and the shortest and the most challenging of the four Gospels. It is sharp and to the point, it has lots of rough edges, and it recounts the events in the life and ministry of Jesus at breakneck pace. Mark's favourite word is immediately. And immediately the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. And immediately Jesus did this, that, and the other. And Mark seldom explains anything. Rather, he almost invariably leaves us, his readers, to do the work, to make the connections, to draw the conclusions that are escaping the poor disciples in his narrative, who stumble along after Jesus, utterly perplexed, and trying to make sense of it all, frequently getting it wrong. Mark's mantra is, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. He is alerting us, in the words of Jesus, to the fact that we too have a role in all of this. And unlike the other Gospels, there are no resurrection appearances in St. Mark's version. As we heard, his story ends in a bizarre and baffling way. At the empty tomb, a young man in white tells the women that Jesus of Nazareth has risen, and he charges them to go and tell Peter and the disciples that he has gone before them to Galilee. But instead of that, the women do the opposite. They flee from the tomb and they say nothing to anyone because, we are told, they were afraid. And in the original Greek, the ending is even weirder because, in effect, the gospel ends mid-sentence. And what's the effect of all of that? Just like the rest of St. Mark's gospel, the ball is left firmly in our court. If the women have fled the tomb and said nothing, if they are not going to do it, perhaps, just possibly, that task is being entrusted to us instead. It is brilliant, it's astounding, it's mind-blowing. But how then shall we respond to that challenge? By the way, just before I receive any indignant emails, I am of course fully aware that in today's Bibles, the text of Mark's Gospel continues on after this for several more verses, but it's universally recognised that those are a later interpolation. Basically, some poor scribe in the early centuries couldn't actually believe that the authentic gospel could possibly end like that, so he decided to tack on a rather Enid Blyton sort of ending so they could all live happily ever after. But no serious New Testament scholar regards that section as authentic. Its tone, content, style, language are all wildly at odds with the rest of St. Mark, so you can safely disregard those last few verses. Our world is in such a catastrophic state as a result of human selfishness and self-centeredness and sinfulness. Our planet is burning up as a result of climate change. War and spirals of never-ending violence are tearing nations apart. And the very nature and complexity of our Western so-called civilized lifestyles
makes it all but impossible for individuals to break free of those cycles of destruction and disintegration. Change has to come. But as all those who encountered Jesus the Messiah in his own day came to discover, the change that is needed is far more significant than simply the political or the social. Because the only kind of transformation that will have any lasting impact is the change that happens within the human heart. It is there that the gospel transforms lives, so that we in turn can begin to work to transform the world. But isn't that a very tall order? With chaos and carnage descending all around us, what possible difference could any of us make? Now, a story I've recounted before, but like all the best stories, it always bears the occasional retelling, is this one. A man was walking by the sea early one morning when he noticed to his consternation that overnight hundreds and hundreds of starfish, whole mounds of them, had been washed up on the shore and they were dying in their droves. He then spotted a man, a single individual, down on the beach walking amongst these starfish and diligently trying to throw them back into the sea, one by one. Bemused by the man's foolhardiness in even attempting such an obviously futile task, the first man called out to him, "Hey, you're not going to make any difference, you know." The second man stopped and looked up at him. He then picked up another starfish and threw it into the sea, saying, "Well, I just made all the difference in the world to that one." And that is the kind of mindset that we need to adopt. The mindset of the crucified and risen Lord, the Messiah who recognizes each and every one of us as a precious child of God, and who knows that all of us need to be rescued so that we in turn might discover that we too can be agents of blessing and transformation in our world. The final chorus in the Oberammergau Passion Play closes with these words. "Praise to you who have overcome death, you who died on Golgotha. Praise to you, Saviour of all sinners. Praise to you who at the altar of the cross gave your life for us. You have bought us for yourself. Only for you we live. Only for you we die. Alleluia, praise, glory, worship and splendor to you, for everlasting to everlasting. And thanks be to God for that. Amen."
Let us now stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
In the joy of this Easter morning, let us pray to the risen Lord. As we celebrate your resurrection, we pray that the world may know your peace and your victory over darkness. We pray for your church throughout the world and for our own Church of St. Bride, where all may come, whether in times of joy or sorrow, and find a warm welcome, a place of tranquility and rest. We pray for King Charles and Queen Camilla, Catherine, Princess of Wales, and for Alison, our rector, and Jeff and Steve, our associate priests. And for our family and friends, watch over those we do not often see and keep them safe. Lord, for the years, we give you thanks. God of the nations, we pray for peace in war-torn regions throughout our troubled world, a world filled with doubt and conflict, inequality and injustice. We think of the victims of the continuing conflicts in Ukraine and between Israel and Gaza. Make this a time of new awakening, of thought, consideration, and action by all leaders and nations to create a lasting peace. We pray for the men and women serving in our armed services, protecting our freedom on land, sea, and in the air. For all working in the local and international media, who at times put their lives at risk to keep us informed. Bless us with the assurance you are in all things, the tragic and the beautiful, the nightmare and the dream. Lord, for the years, we give you thanks. Father of love and hope, hear our prayers for all who are unhappy or depressed, whose lives are shattered and broken, those who feel unloved and isolated, when each day seems long and arduous, making life difficult to cope with. Healing God, we ask you to touch those who are unwell. Ease their pain and suffering in mind, body, and spirit. Give them comfort and hope when all seems lost, and help us to help them where we can. Lord, for the years, we give you thanks. God of the spirits, we gather in prayer and remember those we have loved who have reached the end of their earthly journey, passing through time into eternity. Their memory shines brightly as the stars that light up the darkest night. In a moment of quietness, we bring before you all in need who are known to us and those who have no one to pray for them. Lord, for the years, we give you thanks. Lord of the morning, on this holy day and season of renewal, we pray in thanksgiving for the many blessings you give us. As the earth once again turns to face the sun, we give thanks and celebrate the new life around us. Birdsong at dawn and dusk, the beauty of the fields and blossoming countryside. As we walk through this life, help us to understand the responsibility we have to keep the treasures of your creation free from harm. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please stand? The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you. you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become for us the bread of life. Blessed be God forever. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. Blessed be God forever.
We give thanks to you.
Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of his kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray with confidence as our Savior has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Let us pray. God of life, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection have delivered us from the power of our enemy, grant us so to die daily to sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his risen life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.